certainly is a wonderful blessing for us to be able to try to meet together in the best way that we can right now. And we're thankful for each and every one that has joined us this morning. It's a great blessing to have brethren and sisters with us from our local area, and I know with us from California. Some of the brethren and sisters that were joining with us from Shawale Church in North Mississippi, they're actually meeting in person today. It was a great blessing to have them with us, and we want to be praying for all of their services this morning. We want to pray that the Lord will be with us, continue to be with us. I'm so thankful for the good help with the song service and for the felt presence of the Lord as we've lifted up the songs of Zion, and just pray that the Lord will continue to be with us. It's a great blessing to have those joining with us from Georgia as well. And we want to just thank the Lord for everyone that's here, and want to pray to the Lord that he will continue to be with us in a wondrous and a precious day. It's a beautiful day outside, and it's a beautiful day to worship the Lord. And we want to pray that we continue to do that in spirit and in truth. Brother Robert Brown, if you're able to unmute, would you please lead us in a word of prayer?
Kind Father, we humbly bow before thee this morning, seeking grace and mercy and help in time of need. Yes, Lord, thou knowest we are in great need of thee. We thank thee for being with us, Lord, and letting us feel thy presence during the song service. We ask, O Lord, that thou would remain with us a while longer. Bless Elder Quarles as he stands before thy people. Visit every home, dear Lord, that's on this call, and wherever thy children are gathered together this morning in thy name. Bless all the preachers and the elders, Lord, and bless the message. The messages would be of thee and helpful unto thy children, but above all, Lord, that the messages would glorify thee. It's our only purpose, Lord, for gathering this morning. And we know it's a strange way to worship. We trust, O Lord. As the song says, it means thy praise, our praise, thy praise unto thee, how ever poor. An angel's song can do no more. Yes, Lord, we pray that thou would accept the praise we give unto thee and continue with us, Lord, and bless thy people throughout the lands, wherever they may be. Bless this country, Lord. We know that we've fallen so far from thee. We ask thou would please allow us to return, turn back to thee and repent and change our wicked ways, Lord, that we would follow thee and stand in the old paths and walk therein, Lord, as thou hast instructed us to do. Bless the leaders of this country, Lord. They would make wise decisions that thou hast given unto them. Lord, now go with us now and be with us. And we ask for thy forgiveness for our many sins and our shortcomings. And help us, O Lord, that we serve and worship thee the remaining days of our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Thank you, Father, for providing a way for us to have a home in glory. And we thank thee for writing our names in heaven. We know that way in glory is through the shed blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's his name and for his dying sake that we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. We so very thankful, Brother Robert, for that very good, humble prayer. Just want to ask everyone to continue to pray as he led us in that very heartfelt, humble prayer. And as we have already been praying, I trust, for the service this morning, please continue to pray. It was said before the service this morning, what a great need that all ministers have in leaning on and relying upon our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to try to preach his wondrous gospel. And we want to continue to be prayerful this morning in this service. Have your Bibles. I want to begin this morning in Matthew chapter 22, where the Lord Jesus was asked a question. I don't know about y'all, but it seems like lately we've really just been inundated with information. Information from health officials, information from our government, and trying to to make the very best decisions in the church, for me to try to make the best decisions at the probation office, and trying to get all the information I can from all the various sources. Seems like I've just been almost inundated and overwhelmed with so much information that it's almost like you don't know what to do. Perhaps some of y'all have felt that same way as we try to see how many coronavirus there are cases for our state, for our nation, and look at all the other things, that all the other information that has bombarded us in these last weeks. It's easy to look up and say, I've got so much information, I don't know which way's up. Sometimes when I feel that way, I believe it's very helpful to take a step back and to look at the big picture, to look at the things that are the very most important, and use that to help us get our bearings once again. I've been told by many a farmer that to plow a straight row, you gotta look at something stationary. You gotta have a landmark. You gotta have a certain tree or a certain landmark that you're looking at, and you keep your eye on that guide, and it'll help you plow a straight row. Farmer's not gonna look at a rabbit to plow a straight row. Why? Because that rabbit's gonna move. And the rabbit's going to be in different places. And if your guide's the rabbit that's moving all the time, you're going to plow anything but a straight road. The culture and the streams of this world change greatly. But I'll tell you, the truth of the Lord does not change. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not change. The Bible tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God Almighty in the book of Malachi would say, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So the Lord being our helper this morning, I'd like to take a step back from all the multitude and the details of information that we've been bombarded with, and just take a step back and to look at what God Almighty says is the most important. Matthew chapter 22, the Lord Jesus is being asked a question. He's being asked a question by somebody that's trying to trick him. And certainly, that's a very foolish thing for anybody to think that they could ever trick the Lord, because you can't. And this man asked the question for the wrong motive, but I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful for the answer of our Lord Jesus, because it is a guiding principle in all of our life, the answer that the Lord gave to this question. Because the Lord tells us what is the absolutely most important things. In verse 34 of Matthew chapter 22, says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he, that is the Lord Jesus, had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, he was trying to test the Lord Jesus. The motive for his question wasn't good. But again, I'm so thankful for the answer of our Lord. He says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So what's the most important thing? After the Lord Jesus has asked, what is the great commandment in the law? What is the very most important thing? And I'll tell you, whatever the most important thing is to be a guiding principle in our life. That's what our eye is to be on. To be a guiding principle to help us plow a straight road through life to honor and please and glorify our Lord. Here the Lord Jesus gives the answer. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That is the very most important thing. Out of all the commandments of God, the Lord Jesus Christ from his own lips said, this is the most important. So whatever we do in life, however we interpret anything that's going on in the world, it has to be in the context and the focus of this most important commandment of loving the Lord thy God with all of our heart, not part of it, not in a half-hearted way, not in a way as I'll serve him if there's nothing better to do, but that with our whole heart, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all our mind. This is the first and great commandment. The Lord, in our service to him, is number one. He said, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He said the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord Jesus summed up the commandments of God in these two great commandments of God Almighty, of the Lord being first in everything in our life, number one. You know, that's really the way we plan our day, isn't it? There was certain things I needed to do today. Do you know what number one is? It's what we're doing right now. The number one priority of the Lord's day is and should always be our worship of the Lord. He's number one. You know, as I plan out just a normal work day at the probation office, there may be any given time where some of the things I have to do, I may say, well, I've got to get this done today. And there may be other things I might like to get done. I may want to get done, but they could wait to another day. But the priority of that day, there's certain things on a given day I say, I have to do this today. It's number one priority. You know, that's really the way we live our life, is based on priorities. It's based on what is the most important thing. And I'll tell you, the most important thing in all of our life is our service to God, to love him very deeply in our heart, with all of our heart and all of our soul in all of our mind. That should guide every single action of every single day in our life, should be that first, that great commandment. And the second, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, Elder Philip Conley, to me, wrote a very good article about some of the things we're dealing with today in this COVID-19 environment. And he talked about, as folks come back to the house of God, how charitable and loving we should be with one another. Everybody does not think the same about this coronavirus. There are some folks that are way more afraid than other folks. There are some folks that would go to way more restrictions and protocols than would others. And we need to be charitable with one another. We need to be careful to acknowledge one another's fears. Me and Brother Jeremy were talking yesterday, and we're trying to have the ability from the church house to have more of an amplified cell signal so that we could continue for those that are the most high risk among us, so that they would continue to have a way to be able to tune in and to be able to worship with us when the rest of us have been able to meet back in the house of God, which we hope is very, very soon. And we yearn for that. My heart was touched as Brother Robert prayed. He talked about us meeting together physically back in the house of God, to be able to be in one another's presence. And I know it'll take a little while before things will get totally back to normal. But I yearn for the day to be back physically in the house of God, and also after time goes on, to be able to have the hearty handshakes and the hugs on the necks of my brethren and sisters that I love so much. What a blessing that is. There's people that have a whole lot of different views about how we should be handling things. Even within our office at the probation office, there's some folks, we've only had a couple of people in the office on most days. And there was one officer that felt compelled to wear a mask, even shut up in his own little office, I was told, and other folks should not. Everybody's trying to social distance, but some people have a little bit different view about that than others. There was one officer in my individual office the other day, and he had been very good about disinfecting doorknobs and had done extra cleaning and all that, but his social distancing was a little bit less than some other people, and he was looking at something kind of on my screen and got pretty close to me, and I didn't say anything. It really wasn't bothering me. But another officer who happened to be there that day came to the door of my office and instantly rebuked him and said, "Get up, you're way too close to Mark. Get away from Mark, you're way too close. Get over there." And I mean, he very quickly was very concerned and very alerted and very fearful. I was telling Brother Jeremy that as we try to have some equipment at the church to boost the cell signal, I said, "I'll help in any way, but I'm not getting on the roof of the church because I'm scared to death of heights." I remember when the pavilion was being built and Brother Nick Ishii was up in some very high places, and those things frightened me to death. But you know, Brother Jeremy didn't make fun of me and say, "It's so silly of you to be afraid of heights. That's nothing to be afraid of." But he responded in love. He recognized my fear. And that's the way we're to do with one another. We're to be tenderhearted with one another. We're to be compassionate, realizing that each of our fears might be a little different. And some of what I might be most scared of, maybe you're not. And some of the things you might be most scared of, maybe I'm not. But we be compassionate and we respect one another. Brother Nick's willing to get in high places that would scare me, but it would be very wrong of me to act like he didn't have any judgment because he's not as afraid of heights as me. And so it would be in this environment for us to not have compassion and respect for one another. That's part of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Part of the reason we've taken the protocols we have in our society, and I think overall our government officials have tried to do the right thing and have tried to protect our citizenry. And though we have been meeting together in worship in a different way, I believe that the vast majority of our government officials have done so with good motives, not to try to squelch religious liberty, but to try to protect one another. Some of the things we've done at Providence, even while we were still meeting at the meeting house, of social distancing and washing our hands more and not having the handshake or lunch, was because we love our neighbor as ourselves, and we don't want to hurt one another. We want to take care of one another, be compassionate with one another. And that, those two things, according to the lips of the Lord Jesus, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this should be what guides our thinking. These overarching commandments and teaching of the Lord Jesus should guide our thoughts. in this time. And for us to take a step back and remember what matters most. You know, sometimes at the probation office, we get so much guidance from Washington, D.C., and from the trainings we received, and they get into so much detail about every little aspect of our work that sometimes it's you're inundated with information and it's easy to get confused. And I remind our officers frequently, we got to take a step back and remember what our main goals are. And our main goals is to protect the community, to enforce the orders of the court, of the judges, and to do our best to make a meaningful change, to help make a meaningful change, positive change in the lives of defendants that come through federal court. Those are our big three things. And I'll tell you, it's easy to get lost in the details sometimes of work because of all the things we deal with, and it helps to step back and say, what's the main things? Well, the Lord Jesus told us these are the main things. Interpret all of your life in this. Am I loving the Lord? And it's a good thing to ask ourselves this question. As Mark Quarles, loving the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and as Mark Quarles, loving his neighbor as himself. That makes it a little more personal when you ask yourself that question, though. Those should be the guiding principles of our life and should guide us through this process. I want to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'll preface this by, I guess, asking the question before I read and give the answer. You know, as we begin to look at what our country is going through and hear what's being talked about the most, we hear a whole lot about reopening our economy. And we're probably hearing about as much about that as anything. Now, I believe the economy should be reopened. I realize people are hurting. Many people have lost jobs. Many people don't have a way of making a living for their family. And it's serious times. And opening the economy is extremely important. I get that people are hurting. But I want to tell you, little child of God, it's not the most important thing. You may say, Brother Mark, what are you basing your authority on? I'm basing it upon the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ about what our number one priority should be. Not that other things aren't important, not that other things don't have their own merit, but what is the very most important? Jesus told us. I want to look at the context of this. The disciples of the Lord Jesus, who have been following him, are a little bit fearful. The Lord Jesus, when he is speaking, he's always speaking about things that are pertinent to the context of what he's speaking. The Lord Jesus always addresses things that are timely and appropriate for the actual time he's speaking. He tells the disciples in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, he said, well, let's back up to verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, why do you think he was telling the disciples that? Maybe that was a temptation they were going through. Mammon means money or material blessings. And maybe the disciples had that question in their mind, am I going to serve God or mammon? Maybe we've had that question in our life. What's most important, serving God or serving mammon, serving money and material things? What's most important? Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, or else you'll hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Something has to be number one. Jesus tells his disciples, basically, what's it going to be? God or mammon? Now, the Lord Jesus goes on and says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, and nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now, why is the Lord Jesus telling them this? Because the Lord Jesus knows they're worried about it. These men had pretty much left their secular professions to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying Peter and Andrew didn't fish at all while they were following the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you, Peter and Andrew's fishing business was way different after they began to follow the Lord Jesus. They weren't doing it every single day because they were following the Lord. Remember what Jesus had told them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So yes, they may have still been fishing on occasion, but their fishing business had dwindled way down after they began following the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would be natural, as weak, frail human beings, for them not to wonder, am I going to be able to make it? My fishing business isn't like what it was. I've been following the Lord Jesus. Am I going to be able to make it? Am I going to be able to clothe myself? Am I going to be able to have enough to eat? I don't know. That fishing business was Peter and Andrew's and some of the other disciples. That was their economy. That was their personal economy. And they're worried about it. Are we going to be able to feed ourselves and our families and clothes? That's a realistic concern. The Lord says, don't worry about that. When he says, take no thought, he doesn't mean don't plan at all. He doesn't mean don't be concerned about it at all. He means don't worry. Don't worry. He said, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. You know, I've been plagued the last couple of days, and my family probably thinks I'm going to too much effort, but we've had some swallows that keep trying to build mud houses under our front porch. I've been looking on the internet and trying to put little strips of tin foil to scare them away. And I thought I did a really good job yesterday, and I had torn up the little mud that they had put right around our front porch. And I'm like, man, this is good. I'm keeping these things away. Me and Brother John go out to walk this morning, and I see new piles of mud right by where I put the tin foil that I thought was going to scare the swallows away. And, you know, I'm trying to get rid of those things. But you know who feeds those swallows? The Lord says, your heavenly Father feedeth them. I hadn't had a whole lot of tenderness in my heart for those swallows. They're kind of making a mess on the front porch. But you know, our Lord's so great in compassion and mercy and in love. He thinks about those birds. I don't a lot of times. Maybe some of the other pretty birds that aren't a nuisance I have more affection for. But he says, your heavenly Father feedeth those birds. Are ye not much better than they? The Lord has mercy on those birds. The Lord feeds the birds. He knows if one of them falls to the ground. Wow. Are ye not much better than they? What's the answer to that? Yes. The Bible tells us that us is born again children of God, that God Almighty loved us even before the foundation of the world, that even before he ever said, let there be light, and created the sun and the moon and the stars and the lakes and the valleys and the trees, before all that, God loved you with an everlasting love. And God covenanted, God the Father covenanted with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, that one day the Lord Jesus Christ would come and would suffer and bleed and die for our sins on Calvary's tree. He gave his only begotten Son for us. Romans 8 says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Are we not much better than they? I'll say 1,000 times yes. The Lord's loved us with an everlasting love. He gave his only begotten Son for us. What else would he not give us? In what way, if he's willing to give his only begotten Son for us, what way would he not take care of us? He gave us the most precious thing that's ever been given. His only begotten Son. What would he not give us? You know, I've told y'all before that as law enforcement officers, sometimes when we're riding in the field together and we have a partner, and I'm riding with another probation officer, we have a kind of an unwritten, unspoken rule. But we all know it. If I have to risk my life to save them, I'll do it. If they have to risk their life to save me, they'll do it. And we'll never leave another officer behind. But you know, those same officers that I would risk my life for, to protect, lay my life on the line to protect them, I couldn't give my son's life for them. I love him too much. Couldn't give my daughter's life for them or my wife's life for them. I love them too much. But God the Father loved us so much. He gave his only begotten Son for us. If he feeds the birds, will he not feed us? Are ye not much better than they? He said, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall ye be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles see. For your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So from the lips of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus tells us what's most important, what we should seek first. And I'm going to tell you, as important as the economy is, as important as it is, for it to get going and for people to be able to earn money and feed their families, as important as that is, it's not the number one thing. But the number one thing is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The promise from the very lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we keep our priorities straight, if we keep the number one thing, the number one thing, everything else will take care of itself. That is the promise of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. Are we going to believe it? Are we going to believe it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He didn't say only the kingdom, but he said that's the number one priority. That's the number one thing. And that should be the number one thing. That should be that tree in the illustration of us as the farmer that we're looking at to plow a straight row. Seek ye first the kingdom. And it should be a question we ask ourselves. Are we seeking the kingdom first? If we're not, we need to examine things, because we've gotten to where we're plowing a crooked road. We're curving that road. And we need to get realigned on what matters most. Again, I've been thankful for so many of our government officials and trying to take care of us and give us good guidelines to keep us safe. There have been a couple of instances in our own state of deprivations of religious liberty. There was a church in Greenville, Mississippi that was meeting outside. They were meeting in their cars. They were listening to the preacher preach on the radio, and their windows were rolled up. Going by all the safety regulations and social distancing of the CDC, of the health officials, and police officers knocked on their windows one by one. And they had to actually roll down their windows to be more susceptible to any virus to get the ticket from the officer. And they gave that whole parking lot full of folk $500 tickets, each one. The First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees us the freedom to worship and says Congress shall make no law establishing a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Thankfully, the Attorney General of the United States said, you can't do that. And you know, I thank God, and the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. He writes unto the young preacher Timothy, the Apostle Paul does, says, pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. We should be praying for our leaders, as Brother Robert did, and thanking God for the decisions they made. You know, I couldn't help but smile a little bit, because for us in Mississippi, throughout our history, we've been a little more suspicious of the federal government than we have of state and local governments. And it's kind of always been the concern, well, the federal governments might trample our rights and step on our rights. But here in this situation, thank God for the federal leaders we've had, that when a few local leaders, it hadn't been many, but when a few local leaders get out of hand, they say, no, you can't do that. You have the freedom to worship God in this country. And I thank God for those leaders that are willing to say, you can't do that. And in that, that freedom of religion is acknowledging what the Lord Jesus Christ said from his own lips. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Because you see, little child of God, we need to think about how we make decisions both today and in the future. Thank God we've had some leaders that when local government leaders got out of hand, it also happened in Holly Springs, Mississippi. very close to where Shawali Church is. And they were trying to ticket and ban them from worshiping. And again, a federal judge stepped in and said, you can't do that. So we've seen instances of it happening. And we need to decide in our own minds, according to the truth of God's word, what do we do now and what do we do in the future? There could come a day when politicians say, well, every fall the flu's coming and the churches need to quit meeting because of the flu. We don't know what the future holds. But I'm telling you, now's the time for us to think about how do we make decisions in our life? How do we know what to do right? And to take a step back and to remember the most important things. The Bible tells us to obey the laws of the land. Romans 13 tells us very plainly to do that. And the only times we're not to obey the laws of the land is when they contradict with the laws of God. In Acts chapter 5, they had told the apostle Peter and the other disciples, you quit speaking in the name of Jesus. You quit trying to bring this man's blood on us. Because Peter had preached, this one whom ye have crucified, God Almighty has made him both Lord and Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, the one you crucified. He laid it at their door. He said, you crucified him, but he's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he kept preaching in the name of Jesus. And they said, you quit that. Peter in Acts 5 said, we should obey God rather than men. May God give us wisdom to know how to make good decisions, to know how to put God number one, to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and also love our neighbor as ourselves, to take care of them and protect them, and where the balance is, and to keep in mind these big principles the Lord's given us about the most important things, so that in dealing with all the details, we don't miss the boat and knock down the pillars of what Jesus said is the number one thing. Different parts of our country are doing different things based on their particular situations, based on their particular governmental orders. And each area has to make the best decisions they can. And we've been trying to do that, trying to proceed with wisdom. And I'll remind you what the Bible says in the book of James. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I hope that all of us here listening today, and I hope the Lord has blessed me with a degree of wisdom, but I'll tell you, I feel like I need way more wisdom than I have. And the Lord's told us where we can gain that wisdom. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, bountifully, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing waver. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, thrown about and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. May we pray for wisdom. Lord, help us to know the right things to do in our situation. Lord, help it to be that the decisions we make are loving you with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Let it be that the decisions we make are loving our neighbor as ourselves. For you said, Lord, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To be able to do the right thing. I want to close in Philippians chapter 4. So easy. In these times to be anxious, to be fearful, and to worry maybe about what the future holds. And I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in verse 6 of Philippians 4, where he said, be careful for nothing. That means don't be full of care. Don't be full of worry. Don't be full of anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We've been praying to the Lord. Lord, please help us to be able to meet at thy house physically once again. Lord, please bring us back to that time where we can be hugging our brethren and our sister's neck and giving a hearty handshake to those we love. But at the same time, we need to be thanking God for all the ways he's blessed us, even in this time and even now. What a blessing in these unusual times that we've still been able to meet in this different way. And I'll tell you what, I felt the Spirit of God in some of these meetings, and I'm so thankful for the Lord's blessings in these difficult days. So as we pray to the Lord, as we beg the Lord for things, don't forget to give thanks. The Lord has been so good to us. And in these days of uncertainty, his goodness is still going on. His faithfulness is still happening. And his grace and mercy is still being bestowed upon us as the children of God. Be thankful. You know, I've heard some folks with the projections for a lot of this stuff have been so much less than they thought. The deaths have been overall way less. And some of the capacities of the hospital, especially in our state and in many other states, have there's still plenty of room left in the hospitals of our state. And some have said, see, look, this was all just a ploy for people to take over and all that. And I don't know what each person's motive was for everything we were being told. But I'll tell you, I get concerned when I hear statements like that, because it refuses to acknowledge one thing, that the Lord's people have been praying. The Lord's people have been begging God for mercy and compassion and grace. And maybe, just maybe, it would have been way worse. And God heard the prayers of his little children. And God blessed. And God decreased the tenacity of this virus because of the prayers of little children of God all over the face of the globe. Don't ever forget thankfulness. Finally, brethren, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God's our everything. God's our all. The Bible begins by saying, in the beginning, God, he's everything. Let your requests be made known unto God. God is bigger than everything that assails against us. Our government is not. There's a lot of things that can happen in this life that are bigger than our government. But I'll tell you, there's no trial or no tribulation or no virus that could ever come against any little child of God that is bigger than our Lord, that is bigger than our God. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you need your mind kept? Need your heart kept? Do you need it guarded? I do. The Lord's given us that sweet promise that he'll keep our hearts and our minds. Christ Jesus, our Lord, he'll give us peace. I was mentioning at the funeral of our dear brother, Brother Cook Meyer, what a peaceful end to his life as he was contemplating that his end was near. He didn't do so with great anxiety and great fear, because he was trusting in the grace of his precious Lord. He was trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Not in anything that he had done, but in what Jesus had done for him. Gave him a great peace. As I said at the funeral, grace is good to live by. Little child of God, grace is good to die by. Where we can rest in the work and in the arms of a Savior's love. That's always a good place to be. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.